You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, I'm Scott Soschnick.
And I'm Evan Novi Williams, and this is the 14 more days of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift Sports Business Podcast, The Sportacast.
I love it. You had so many people think, what was it? Lamar Jackson, please save us from another 2 weeks of Taylor Swift. I don't know. I kind of like it. By the way, I think Taylor's kind of sick of it. Did you see when the CBS cameras were on her?
I didn't know. I didn't actually watch any of that game, unfortunately.
So I just saw the highlights. So the cameras, of course, get Taylor in the box, and she looks up and she sees she's on TV, and she mouths, go away, please.
Like a hostage.
Yeah, exactly. Just go away, please. I think even she is like, she gets it. She doesn't want this. She doesn't want it. She doesn't need it. But here we are anyway. It's only 2 weeks.
Yeah, the Groundhog saw its shadow. The forecast is 14 more days of hearing about
who's the
this.
Other team, by the way? Who are they playing?
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Sorry, Al Guido. Who are they playing?
Shout out to the Niners for coming back against the Lions.
Poor Michael Barr. That's all I kept picturing, by the way. I kept picturing our old colleague Michael Barr, big Detroit fan. He was crying when they won the playoff game. I was just, poor Michael Barr.
Yeah, not a great way to end your season if you're the Lions. Yeah, but I think we have to start with Travis. Yes. and Taylor. I mean, I said this last week when I watched. The first Chiefs playoff game I had watched was the one last week, and it's just stunning to me how often she was on camera. How often he was on camera, how often the commercials featured him in various ads, including Pfizer, including Campbell's Soup. The commercial engine that always revs in the 14 days before the Super Bowl is a V8 or whatever. It's a V12. It's a big engine.
V12, yeah.
happening in the next 14 days, and everything from her travel schedule, performing in Tokyo the day before the Super Bowl, to I saw people theorizing he might propose on the field after winning. We're just gonna get barraged with all of this celebrity nonsense news, for lack of a better word, I think in the next 14 days, for better or worse. And I'm sure the NFL is thrilled that they're ending up.
But I love those that are prepared though. Like right after the game, did you see the American Airlines flight numbers?
I did see that. Yeah.
So yeah, what is it? 1989, and what's Kelce?
I don't even know his number. I don't know.
But whatever. They changed two flights to from Kansas City to Vegas and back to represent Taylor and Travis.
87.
So
is his jersey.
Okay, so they're flight 87. I mean, everything. These are creative folks, but this
you're,
is my
you're
challenge,
a tail number
Novi.
Scott. What do you feel about the tail numbers? 80, 89 too low for you? Feeling too low? How do you feel about those numbers?
Yeah, I think that's a little low.
Yeah, you want to be on flight 3 digit
flight. I want flight 1989. I want flight 1989. Yeah, I'd rather be on that than the two. Yeah, yeah. So Jay Bieberman, another former colleague, Jay Bieberman and I would always tell each other the flight numbers before we'd leave. Like, I don't like the sound of that one. Yeah, just, you know, let me know when you landed safely. Yeah, we. So I'd much rather be on 1989 than 87 for whatever reason. But I'm curious because in the day and age now where you have to break through the clutter, like, if you're going to use Taylor, Travis, whatever it may be, you better be darn creative, right? There's just so much. You're inundated with this. How do you break through trying to utilize at least that theme in your advertising or marketing?
One of the questions I would have for Anthony Krupe, our media expert, is the Super Bowl.
You'd only get one question because his answer would be 37 minutes.
It's true. And maybe on Wednesday I'll come with the answer here. The Super Bowl ads, quote-unquote, sell out months and months in advance. But the sellout is not every ad inventory is sold out. They hold a few specifically knowing that depending on who's in the game or what's happening in the world, what company just had something big important, that people may want to pay up for those final few slots. I do wonder if you're a company like Pfizer that has Travis, if the appeal of running an ad with him in a game that he is playing in a Super Bowl that he's playing in, is so much more enticing that maybe you do buy an ad or buy a second ad. I have no idea if marketing experts would know if running an ad of the player who's playing in the game suddenly makes the ad somewhat more effective and maybe more.
I can make you wince efficient. Right now, Novi Williams.
Please.
You want to wince? Because I know you so well.
Yeah.
If I mean, obviously, these are the discussions that are being held inside of, you know, boardrooms.
Yeah.
And if I'm the CMO at Pfizer right now, am I not asking my folks to give me the money so we can take a shot?
God.
I told. Oh, God. Happy Monday, Evan.
I would like a vaccine from your humor sometimes. That's what I would like.
I thought it was pretty good.
That's one of the things that jumped out to me. That and it's true of Patrick Mahomes too, right? There's State Farm, for example. Ooh. There's a number
it seems
of
so quaint. Just yesterday was
Patrick
it was all about
national ads.
Pat Mahomes. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would think that there probably is some extra value in having an ad with a player who's playing in the Super Bowl, but I actually don't know that. But I would be curious if both for Patrick and Travis, because they are so present from a marketing standpoint, if we are going to see them in the Super Bowl because they're in Super Bowl commercials now that they're playing in the game.
In the confluence of culture and fashion and art and sport, I mean, this is the pièce de résistance, right? Let's bring it back to football. I use the word confluence, and every time I do that, I always ask, you know the Three Rivers from Three Rivers Stadium in Pittsburgh?
The Monongahela, the Ohio.
Oh, that's the one people don't usually get.
And the Susquehanna?
I don't know. I'm just asking if you know. Monongahela is the one people usually leave out. I don't know. I'd have to go look it up.
I feel pretty good about those two, and I don't know what the third is.
But the confluence of all this celebrity and sport and fashion, are we ready to declare Kristen Juszczyk the winner? And if people are not familiar with the name, just imagine this, this tripod. One, Taylor Swift. Two, husband on participating team, 49ers. Three, Super Bowl, premier athletic event in the world. So if you don't know Kristen, she, of course, was the designer who had made a jacket for Brittany Mahomes, the wife of Patrick Mahomes, quarterback of the Chiefs. On a lark, she made one for Taylor Swift, too, sent it along, and Taylor did wear the jacket. Of course, that garnered worldwide attention. And now here she is with her husband's team and Taylor Swift. Now, do you make one for Taylor? Like, your husband's in the game, so
I think
do you boycott it? What do you do here?
Oh,
if you're
I see.
Yeah,
you tell her she can't wear it.
No,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm not making you a jacket
you
for the big
the
game.
Enemy.
My husband's on the other team.
Yeah,
Of course you make the joke.
Of course. Yeah. If Taylor wants to wear it, you make her 50 of them. this is such a. There's so many interesting parts of this. The thing that really interests me, and we know the NFL has been talking to Kristen Juszczyk for a while now. it's unclear how much she wants in terms of, does she want a license? Does she want to try to make this a business? Does she have the ability to scale it? And there's obviously at least a little bit of demand. We don't know exactly what she's thinking. I don't believe she's talked publicly about it. But the NFL, from a merchandising standpoint, the officially licensed NFL merchandise is decidedly uncool. I don't know if you've ever walked around the Super Bowl store, Scott, or walked around the NFL shop.
Are you calling Zubaz pants uncool?
The NFL does not make cool merchandise. Yeah. And I think there's a few possible reasons for that. I'm editorializing here, obviously. There may be some people that love what the NFL is doing. I think the licenses are very expensive, and I think that is the first part. And then secondly, I think the NFL is just a little bit on the conservative side in terms of who they want to give those licenses to, how edgy they want some product to be. Christian Juszczyk is going to, and perhaps going to, test that edginess, right? There's clearly demand for this. It's unclear if she is going to really make a run at this. It's also unclear if the NFL is going to let her. And that's the thing that I think is most interesting, that when you walk around the Super Bowl official store, NFL store, there's not a lot of product. There's certainly not a lot of cool product like a
$200 like a replica football
in the way that she's thinking about it. This is going to be fascinating to see if on a short time frame they can do something done, if there is indeed interest from both parties and what that looks like.
But let's pull back for a second though, Eben, and look from the really wide perspective. All right, so you're Roger Goodell. Why is it that there's such a big international push from the NFL? I think because there's a notion of saturation within the U.S.
Yep.
That, we've got all the fans. Like, we've done all we can. And I understand when I say all, that's air quotes. You know, they view it as we've got everything in the U.S. locked up. What if I told you all of a sudden the Swifties, if you would, who are probably not a dominant part of that fan base, all of a sudden are reachable to your messaging?
Yep.
Right? You could, whatever number of fans Taylor Swift has, but you are now reaching this audience. You can now bring in an entire new audience to your game. Man, you've got to take that shot. You have got to take that shot. Now, Taylor Swift does not need promotion. She does not need money. She does not at all. However, if you framed it as a way to motivate young girls to get into athletics, to make them part of a game, you know, the flag football, going to the Olympics, you bring that part of health and fitness and self-confidence. That is how I would approach Taylor Swift and say, we at the NFL have the ability to give you that platform and help you reach these girls that are already your fans to do this other thing besides just the music. I really do find it absolutely fascinating, beyond just the, oh my God, there's another shot of Taylor Swift. The mechanics at play for the league, for Taylor Swift, for Travis Kelce, it's absolutely fascinating what opportunity is out there and who pursues what.
And you said it a few weeks ago on the podcast, and I think you're absolutely right. In the calculus of who needs who more, this is the big question on the Taylor Swift side is,
give me the other vehicle for the NFL to reach, you know, teams and whatever.
I agree with you. The NFL should want to do literally everything that Taylor Swift is willing to do with them, from a licensing standpoint, from an event standpoint, from a media standpoint. All those things seem like they are layups. But there's also the question, what does she get out of it? Does she want to do that? This is, let's not forget, this is tied into a romantic relationship of hers that is, we have no idea how serious or unserious it
future
actually is.
Future number one hit. Future single. Yeah.
This is not something that she is doing. This is just by virtue of who she happens to be dating at the time. I agree with you. There's so much opportunity potentially here. But it it's is, not yeah, only Evan, is the
let
NFL
me, let me jump in the one second.
Taylor, is Taylor interested?
It is tied in, yes, to who she's dating. I get it. However, I do believe this has opened a window into a world that she previously had not peeked into. She really has a real understanding now about the emotion, about the community aspect of sport that we hear so much about. I mean, she's looking around these stadiums and going, holy crap. Like, look how many people care about this. And there are people who get it but don't really get it. And now she seems to really be enjoying the whole
thing. Do you think that's true? Like, she's going to stadiums and she's like, oh yeah, this is a packed NFL stadium and people are screaming. I see that every day at work.
Yeah,
I still think it's a different world for her, right?
They're screaming for the song, and then there's this sort of we're all in it for the pride of the city, the team, us versus you. The athletic endeavor is different. You know, you don't know this. The aspect of you don't know how this reality show will end today.
Yeah.
It ends differently every time. That is a component that which song are you going to open with? Which song are you going to close with? I get it. But there's a component here that she does not get in her day job that I really think she's starting to really enjoy. All right, so let's play silliness. Let's say Travis and Taylor break up.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah.
Does she stop watching football completely? Does she go to another game? Does the interest in the game sustain that breakup? I say yes.
I can't answer that, but I do know that the breakup album, I mean, she has obviously has a habit of weaving
the new
her,
era's
her prior
true.
A
whole era
relationships
in
into her music.
Yes.
The Travis breakup album or Travis breakup songs are gonna be fire for the overlap
fans. She went from
football and Taylor Swift.
Karma is the guy on the Chiefs to like karma is the drop ball in the end zone or something if he doesn't do something good in the Super Bowl. You know, those are going to be the new lyrics if this thing doesn't, if it goes south in every way.
Exactly.
Anyway, I still think Kristen Juszczyk is just fascinating. I can't wait to see what she does.
Agreed. And let's talk Niners for a second. The team's been very, very good for a while. One of the things that stands out to me about the Niners, they have – from a business standpoint, have really expanded their portfolio recently. They recently bought the rest of Leeds. They're an investor in Elevate, sports marketing giant. They are you talk a lot on the show about sports as platform companies and real estate and media being the two big things there. The Niners are doing that, but also dipping their hands into other opportunities, right? Like other franchises in sports around the globe. And I think that's a really interesting model and one that we're probably going to see more of. I don't think this is the last NFL team that is going to be a significant investor or owner in a major European soccer team, as an example. I think this is one of those things that you will see more of moving forward, not less.
I find it interesting. Yeah, Fenway Sports Group comes to mind. Kroenke, of course, these are the ones that come to mind. And we're wondering when Monumental might do something
like
this.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, by the way, you know who's not a part of all this, although in a very quiet way? It's the New York Yankees. You notice the Yankees have had the opportunity. Believe me, the Yankees have been approached for years about whether it be EPL, other European soccer teams, you know, and they haven't done anything in sort of a majority control way because they understand
NYCFC
the brand.
Yes.
That actually as a real estate play,
yep.
You know, which is great because we talk about one of the 10 poles being real estate, media, Yes Network. So that they're fitting in there fine, but they just haven't taken the brand in a way internationally. And I don't think they will, frankly. I think they're so focused on the Yankee brand and baseball at the core. But what people don't know is that the Yankees have a ton of investments in things you would never even think of. You know, like some new light bulb that they utilize in stadiums. Yep. The Yankees are the investors in that company. You don't need to know it, but because of the Yankees, they can make that seed investment and watch it grow. So it is where these platform companies are headed, but it's interesting to see which ones go very public, decide to stay in sport around the globe, and which ones go in a different direction.
The Yankees have done and are continuing, I believe, to do the thing that the Miami Dolphins did as well, which is when they partner with, for example, this Korean light company, when they partner with vendors or new companies to integrate their tech into their stadium, they take a little bit of cash, but they also take equity, right?
Take a piece of equity.
And they understand that by partnering with this NFL or this MLB team, your company has maybe a better shot at survival, more business, more visibility, et cetera, and they want to share in that upside. And it's the same reason why all these leagues, Scott, are doing their investing, right? It's the 32 equity on the NFL side. Everybody, all these leagues are realizing that by partnering with these companies, they are giving a huge platform to these companies. And why not share in the upside in that as well?
Yep, absolutely. And we mentioned Fenway, and today is Monday. We wrote a story last week saying there may be some action this week on Fenway Sports-led investment in the PGA Tour. We understand it'll principally be focused on sort of the PGA Tour's domestic properties and, you know, what can we sell within the United States. But it's going to be interesting to see which owners, you know, it's a whole group of established owners, what comes of this, how much they invest. And the big question is what happens with PIF, of course, you know, the Saudi, the Saudi wealth fund. Is PIF in, is PIF out? These talks have been going on for a while, but at least we think the PGA Tour gets a little leverage with some deep-pocketed owners in the ongoing talks with PIF. And frankly, I don't expect anything to happen on the PIF side anytime soon.
Yeah, there was a deadline in this bigger golf merger between the European Tour, the PGA Tour, and LIV Golf. A deadline at the end of 2023. We're obviously well past that. That deadline has been extended to a degree. It's unclear if that is actually going to happen. And if it is going to happen, the PGA Tour at least now has a little bit more financial heft behind it as it has those conversations. If it's not going to happen, the PGA Tour is going to need capital. And this group, the strategic sports group you mentioned, led by Fenway, a whole slew of big names in sports business in that group, including Steve Cohen, Jerry Cardinal, Tom Ricketts, Mark Lazary, Wick Grosbeck. It's hefty financially, and it's also hefty from a connections standpoint within sports. And I'm not surprised that this deal happened before the LIV merger for all the reasons we're talking about. This is, you can view it as a bargaining chip. You can view this as maybe even setting the table for what happens if LIV and the PGA and the European World Tour walk away from each other. 2024 is going to be the year, I think, that global golf fully upends itself in some capacity, right? We could end the year with one central commercial golf asset that has everything in it. We could end the year with LIV and the PGA back at it, legally and professionally. It's uncertain what happens, but there's going to be a massive shakeout in professional golf right now. And as you know, there's a number of other sports that are eagerly looking at what happens and what does not happen here and trying to figure out what they can extrapolate from that onto their own sports as well.
I'm sitting here doodling on my one piece of paper here. If this is my keyword here, I want to bring up the word triangulate.
Okay.
So that's what I do rather than go triangulate. But as we're discussing all this, like, through my head goes, okay, so PIF and golf, Qatari Sovereign Wealth Fund, Monumental, which we mentioned earlier, Monumental at a time when Ted is writing letters to get support for his multi-billion-dollar real estate play in Northern Virginia, moving the Wizards and the Capitals outside of sort of the D.C. area, at a time when the NFL owners have a working committee put together to see if private equity should be welcomed. What would that do to valuations? Because they're skyrocketing for all the things we just mentioned.
Yeah.
Like, you just, nothing happens in a vacuum. All of this is, we have to triangulate it all to see these dominoes. What this one falls, what happens down the line? How do they fit? You know, and I know the next story we want to talk about is, you know, Netflix, getting WWE Raw, but WWE is part of TKO, publicly traded company, but then you have Vince McMahon. He just had to resign his positions there. Private company, this wouldn't have happened, but, you know, you go to the public markets, and despite the first statement denying some ugly allegations against Vince, it took, 24 more hours until he said, you know, oh, for the good of the company, I'm stepping aside.
What an insane week for TKO. We talked about the first news on the podcast last week, the new Netflix deal, $5 billion deal for WWE's Raw rights, one of the two kind of main media rights deals that they have. Stock jumped a huge amount on that. And then later in the week, a lawsuit filed with some very, very ugly allegations against Vince on sexual harassment, sexual trafficking.
For the record, denied by Vince.
Abuse, manipulation. He has denied unspecifically a lot of the claims that are in the lawsuit. But maybe the more interesting business side, two interesting business pieces of that. One, obviously, Vince has been so instrumental in what WWE is as a business, as a public perception. He left the company and then came back to the company. He is one of those, and we can debate how involved he actually is in TKO leadership right now, but he is one of those executive chairmen that are so synonymous with the brand itself that you do wonder what they actually fully start to look like if he is gone. And then secondly, the one of the more interesting business parts of the lawsuit is what WWE had a fiduciary duty to both disclose and act on a few years ago when it was at least seeing parts of these allegations around NDAs and payments made, et cetera. And that, I think, Mike McCann wrote a really good story for us at Sportico on Monday that people are on, maybe Saturday, over the weekend, that people should read. But breaking down just the way in which, as you said, publicly traded companies, the board's fiduciary duties. Questions.
Yeah. Why'd they bring them back in the first place?
Exactly. How you are, you know, obligated to act in a different way than if you are a private company.
And then let's roll it forward. Netflix is coming out with a Vince McMahon documentary.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, hey, Reed Hastings, I have a question. Will there be a Vince McMahon documentary released with these allegations out there? Will it be updated? Will it be amended? Will it? I don't know. But at a time, again, Netflix, we see the game plan here. It's don't rent. Let's buy. Do not, you know, they're trying to get. You get the rights for Raw, yes, but there's a million other things you can do. IP you can create with reality shows, docuseries around the wrestlers. So they sniffed around the World Surf League, didn't come to a deal. World Surf League signed a deal with ESPN. So, again, another by the way, triangulation. ESPN, you got to be shaking. Netflix is coming in and buying this stuff, and you know, you've got the tech companies with a lot of money. Should they put it to work for, let's say, the NBA? By the way, triangulate. Adam Silver extends his contract or close to extending his deal, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. Not surprising, Adam gets that next push into two very important pieces of business. One, the next media deal, 2X, 3X, I don't know. That's tier one property. They're going to get paid. And then expansion, Seattle, Vegas. What is the expansion? You know, Vegas, which, by the way, hosting the Super Bowl. that's what I mean about the trade. Nothing happens in a vacuum. All of these things are connected at a time when, by the way, Wes Edens is trying to get his Brightline project from L.A. to Las Vegas. More real estate, more transportation to Las Vegas. So this is why we do what we do. We try and pick topics and discuss, but you got to think of all the offshoots.
There was a lot there. I do want to go back to the Netflix Vince McMahon documentary for a second. The messaging around that documentary has been that this is not going to be a frilly, rosy, rose-colored glasses look at Vince McMahon. This is going to be a...
How would you do that?
Agreed. That this is going to be a story that shows the good and the bad sides. But I do think that now that Netflix is a $5 billion contract partner with WWE, I do think that becomes a harder, full story to tell, especially as more and more ugly details come out about Vince. The we talked recently about the NFL and ESPN and reports that ESPN may be close to an equity partnership with the NFL. One of the big criticisms of that in our industry was, how do you objectively cover the NFL if you're an ESPN reporter or ESPN employee if there is an equity business relationship, if the NFL is holding equity in ESPN? I also think that as we get deeper into these streaming deals where Netflix not only is contracting and releasing documentaries about sports, but is also a rights holder in some of those same sports, I think you have kind of maybe similar conflicts of interest as well. So I am very curious to see when and if that Vince McMahon documentary comes out, just how unsparing it is on the ugly details, because it certainly seems like there are some. And also the business relationship between WWE and Netflix just got a lot more complicated in the past week.
How'd you like to be Fox or NBC or CBS if the NFL, you know, has an equity stake in ESPN?
There's all sorts of issues there, right? Non-equity holding partner is a tough spot to be in.
That's what I mean about triangulation. These conflicts are we cannot turn around without bumping into conflict here or there. Somebody's got a minority piece, somebody's business partner, somebody co-owns. I mean, it's literally just everywhere.
Well,
all right,
I'll end
it
the show
phone.
Here with the last triangulation, Scott. The
Ooh,
third...
I love it.
The third.
This could be a new thing. Wait, could this be a new segment? Can we do every week? Can we do, okay, it's time to triangulate? Can we do that every week? Should we do that?
Sure, yeah. Let's do that. And I'm going to start with a fun one. It's time to triangulate the three rivers in Pittsburgh. It is the Ohio,
you looked it up?
The Monongahela, and the Allegheny. Is the
Allegheny,
third.
Of course.
The Monongahela and the Allegheny flow in and create the Ohio, yes. According to the webpage I was just looking at. Sports business and geography here at the Sporticast. He is Scott Soschnick. You can find him on Twitter at Soschnick. I am Eben Novi Williams on Twitter at Novi _ Williams. The show is produced by Aaron Greenewald. Thank you very much to Aaron. Sportico's digital media editor, Cora Veltman, would like you to know that you can follow the show at Sporticast, which is the hub of the Sportico Media Network.